And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he's having Last Supper, of course, with his disciples. He broke it and gave it to them and saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The word I want to point out to you today is just broken. We need to come to this table today broken. Broken about who we are. Broken about the fact that God may not be in the right position in our lives, meaning we've put things before him. We've allowed ourselves to become distracted from the true calling and purpose of our lives. Or maybe we're just not serving. We're a believer and we're a follower in Christ. We talked about this in the last few weeks. There's two callings that are placed on your life, every individual, and that's for salvation and that's to serve. So we are to serve God once we are saved. And if we've been apart from God in our relationship, we haven't been serving him. So it's broken. So if it's broken, what do we need to do to fix it? Psalm 51 is very unique. I'm going to give you some stuff. I want you to go home and look this up. All right, David had an illicit relationship with Bathsheba. It bore fruit of a child. The child eventually died. And basically, his household fell apart after that. I don't know if you ever go and look and read about the life of David. His household fell apart about that. And of course, he also committed murder and did some other things. And so it was just in chaos and disarray. Scripture says in Samuel that David was a man after God's own heart. So God looked upon David and he chose him to be the leader of this nation. And now David has done something that has separated that and broken that relationship. Most scholars think that David was unrepentant for about 3 years. Totally unrepentant for about 3 years in his life. And I'm going to give you some places to go and read where you can read some psalms that were written during that period of time in David's life. Go read Psalm 31. Go read Psalm 38. These psalms were written during that time period. He says, "My body is broken. My bones are aching. I cannot get myself well. I am sick to the very core. I don't know what's going on with me. There is nothing right that is happening." His children are fighting each other for who's going to follow him. They're trying to take him off the throne. And in doing so, they're even killing each other. So his whole family is in disarray. It's because of the sin that took place that broke that relationship. And he is unrepentant of it. Well, Psalm 51 is awesome because it is a psalm of repentance. So this is where David sees his flaws and what? Reunites or recommunes with God the Father. And so this is what it says in Psalm 51, verses 16 and 7. "For you do not delight in sacrifice." Oh God, I'll just do this. Please, I'll take care of this. Please let me do this. If I do this, it'll make it right. If I write this check, that'll make it right. If I go down here and I serve, at some shelter or do something like this, that'll make it right, won't it? Won't that make it right? I can fix this. "You do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit." Note this. Scripturally, if you see a little S, that's talking about your spirit. If you see a big S, that's talking about the Holy Spirit. So it's not talking about a brokenness of the Holy Spirit. It's talking about a brokenness of your spirit. So as we come here this morning and we realize where we are and we see the fact that we need to have a self-examination of our lives and truly where we are in our relationship with God, there's got to be some brokenness in every single one of us. So if there's brokenness in us, what do we need to do in our lives to fix that? We need to have a broken spirit. It also says a contrite heart. So we need a broken spirit and a contrite heart. "You, O God, will not despise." What is contrition? What is an act of contrition? You can speak back to me, just don't throw things at me. What's contrition? Come on. Contrition is acceptance. That's what comes after contrition. When we make contrition, what do? We're sorry. It's an act of submission, is it not? Which brings about what we hope for to be the acceptance. An act of contrition is for us to step forward in the realization that we were wrong. So when we come to the Lord, we're to have a broken spirit, truly see who we are. We're really not a good person. All right? People may say we're good, and they may think we're good, but we're really not good. We know. We know here, and we know here. All right? So we come with a broken spirit, and we come with a contrite heart. That is an act of submission and humility. So when we have that act of submission and humility, then we're coming before the Lord in the proper posture. Meaning this, how many times can you go into Proverbs and see where Solomon said, an arrogant person, a haughty person, a prideful person? Is it ever positive after that? No, it's not. So if we come in here this morning and you say, who is this preacher up here, standing up here, giving me all this and getting up in my face about this kind of stuff? Because you know what? I don't deserve this. This is why I don't come to church, because they do this to people. That's totally the wrong spirit. You will walk out of here and you will be on your own again. And guess what? Come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you'll still be in the mess that you're in because you've created that. And look, we're not alone. Culturally, this goes on in our world all around. And I'm not pointing a finger because this is David, a man after God's own heart. And for 3 years, he was unrepentant of what took place in his life. So don't think we all can't get there. We all can get there. And I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. In the last 12 to 18 months, my life has been broken. 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 And there's been other times when we stepped out and went into ministry. Oh, Lord. We accepted a call in ministry, and I was going to go to seminary. The church that I was at decided that they needed a third full-time staff person. A month before that, I'd found out that there was some things going on in the life of our pastor that weren't good. Took that to the proper people. The last thing that pastor did was to approve in a conference for me to be hired on a Sunday night. And by the next Sunday, he was not our pastor anymore. We received phone calls. We received threats. We were not allowed to speak to anyone in the congregation about what had taken place. We were named in a lawsuit. This is all as we were stepping out in the ministry and to start seminary. And had just taken about a $25,000 a year pay cut to do so. Ulcers all down the back of my throat, just from worry and distress. Getting phone calls from people. Having people that I have known my entire life walk out the side doors instead of the back door where I was to shake hands at the end of worship. Because my name was on that. Took the Rolodex, called all the people in the church, except the people that he didn't want to talk to. It was craziness, total craziness. Broken, totally broken. This is not how this is supposed to be. This is not the direction that I wanted to go. This is how things are not supposed to happen. They're supposed to happen another way, the way that we plan them. And what I'm trying to say here is that it's very easy for us to get off track in this. And then what do? Who gets the blame for that? Do we accept the blame for that? No. We live in a land of irresponsibility. We take blame for nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's your mama's fault, isn't it, Susan?
No, it's not my mama's fault.
It's your daddy's fault.
It's my husband's fault.
Oh, it's your husband's fault. Well, at least you've gotten it on the right plane now, okay? All right. Okay, good. Good deal. Amen. That's right. He's on the internet forever, isn't he? That's right. It ain't coming down. There's somebody else to blame. It's not us. It's not our fault. We don't need to accept responsibility. God gets that blame most of the time. And when he ends up with it, it severs, breaks our relationship. Our job today is to come to him with a broken spirit and a contrite heart, realizing, you know what? It's a mess, maybe of the situation and circumstances that were out of our control, or maybe it's a mess of our own doing. And if we come to him with that right attitude, then we will see what? What does it say? If you draw near to me, Scripture says in Hebrews, God says, I will draw near to you. I want you to know something right now anyway. He's right here. He's right here. He's right here beside you. And Holy Spirit-wise, he's right here with you. It's just a matter of your recognition. Have you ever been sitting in your own house and your kids or your husband or somebody else is in your house and you didn't even know they were there? Yo, you scared me. I didn't even know you were home. If that happens at our house, you're probably going to get shot because Tamar carries around a gun, and especially if I'm not home, all right? So that happens to us. In other words, people can be all around us and we're just totally oblivious and unaware. Now think about the Holy Spirit. We live our lives oblivious of him walking, talking, being with us every single day of our lives. It's time to acknowledge that. Let's keep reading. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten and saying, this cup which is poured out for you is a new covenant of my blood. So guess what? There's a covenant relationship that we have with God. And it's initiated through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Go read Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 10. And I'll explain that to you. It's not a covenant that was Old Testament. It is a covenant of New Testament. In other words, there's not a sacrificial lamb. There is the Lamb of God. So it is a new covenant for us. This brings us back into the relationship that that covenant puts in. Does anybody know how a covenant's different from a contract? A contract we sign can be broken. It is also ended when it is completed. So if you sign to make 2,000 widgets, when you make to 2,000 widgets and you deliver them, that contract is done. All right. There are also provisions in there that make that null and void and all this other kind of stuff. You know how that's different from a covenant? You know how a covenant's finished? A covenant's only finished when what? When you're dead. That's exactly right. So when we enact a relationship with Christ Jesus, it is a covenant relationship. When we get married, this is part of my premarital counseling, Brother Paul. The first thing I talk about is the covenant. You've asked me to stand here in front of you. Do you realize what you're doing? Because you can go to the justice of the peace. You can do whatever you need to do. But if you ask me, I am God's representative. And that is a covenant relationship. A covenant relationship between a man, a woman, and God. And that's only broken until what do you part? Death. Do you part? That's what that truly is all about. So this is a new covenant relationship that has been enacted through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this blood or this juice, which we will take later, is symbolic of that. So as we come with a broken spirit and a contrite heart, we're going to renew that covenant, right? Because God hadn't left and we're not dead. So it ain't over, okay? So we're to be poured out. Look what Paul says, and Paul, look what David says in Psalm 51, 14. He says, deliver me from my blood guiltiness. This is a cleansing of that sin. O God, the God of my salvation, then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. And when you go and read in Hebrews chapter 9, it will says that blood is the covering of sin. And so what it does is it covers that sin and takes that away. For this is my blood, Matthew 26:28. This is what it says. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sin. And Titus 3:5-6 says this. He saved us not on the basis of our deeds, because we are not good people, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So do you see now how that's changed? The first passage I gave you was a broken little s. What does this passage right here talk about? This says, by the washing and regeneration and renewing by the big S, Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So when we come here and we take these elements, they are symbolic of this relationship. It is a time for us to sit back and not think about why we even need this. We desperately need this. We desperately need to be examining our lives so that we make sure that we are in the proper relationship with God, so our life doesn't go off into the woods and in the weeds like even King David's did. So that we stay the path, stay true to God, keep the proper relationship, keep the proper course that he's laid out for us, and keep the covenant pure. Does that help you give a new, fresh perspective of what communion is? All right. I'm going to talk about the church for just a second. We don't teach this anymore in the church. I've served in churches where they just stuck the table up over there and told you to go take the bread and go take the elements and just come back to the seat. Because it's just doing it. Because we need to do it. No explanation. No understanding. Do you realize what we're doing to people when we do that? We're just allowing them to perpetuate their continued brokenness away from God without ever helping them to sit back and examine what's going on. I didn't ask before this, but I'm assuming our communion's open, right? So in other words, anyone, you don't have to be a member of this church to take communion, right? All right, good. All right, should have clarified that before I did my first communion. Our communion's open, meaning this. You do not have to be a member of this church to take communion. I will ask this. I know that it's hard and difficult for small children to see you taking something and not want that. But this is for believers. And Scripture is very adamant about that. We can go into that at another time. So I don't want anyone here to do anything upon themselves. So this is for believers, and it is open to all believers. And we're about to enter into our time of communion. I'm going to ask our deacons to come forward. So as we prepare to serve. Mike, you'll serve over here. I'll serve with you, all right? And then you guys serve over here. Y'all stand up, come on up here. We have not gone through this. Can y'all tell? Can you hear? That's fine. Brother James, would you pray for us as we get ready to take communion, and then we'll pass the elements. Yes, sir.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that the bread symbolizes your holy body, beaten and broken and battered, Father, that we might have hope of eternal salvation. Lord, we just pray that each one here today will prepare their hearts and their minds. Lord, we just pray that you would bless this, our efforts to remember. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Lord said, this is my body, broken for you. Let's do this in remembrance of me. Brother George, will you pray for us for this portion?
Father, we humble ourselves before you and just thank you for this opportunity we have to gather together, and Father, to participate in this. And Father, we just pray that you forgive us of our sins, and Father, just give us the strength that we need to carry on. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Represented the blood that was shed on the cross so that you and I might have a relationship with Christ. Do this in remembrance of me. Scripture says that after they had that time of breaking of bread, that they sang a song and then they departed. So we're going to stand together and we're going to sing.
We're going to sing a verse and chorus of Victory in Jesus.
If you'll stand, if you need someone to speak with, pray for you, talk to, I'll be right over here, and I would love to do that. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, and you need to know what that truly is all about, I'll be here to speak with you about that as well. Let's sing.
Thank you.
take the hand of the person that's next to you. Let's cross the aisle. Brother Bobby, would you close us in prayer?
Lord, again, we thank you for the blessed life you have given us all. Amen.